It's been a long 6 months if you're a football fan, but that ends today, this week, I guess 8 or 9 months if high school football is your stead. We've been out of season, all the other sports going on, which you always enjoy. But getting back to our bread and butter here on Prep Sports Now, I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. We're brought to you for another season by Wingstop, the wing experts, open at several, I guess I'll say, Vegas locations until midnight. Wingstop, what's your flavor? Bro, I think you can't go wrong with the original hot, boneless, always going boneless, Brewer mild.
Mild, but if I don't have the cheese fries, I'm not even showing up. You know that.
Yeah. There you go. We didn't have any cheese fries at our high school football.
We had the fries, but no cheese. But if they go to the Maryland location, they also have like these mozzie sticks and garlic knots that are very good, for whatever it's worth.
Well, there you go. So we thank Wingstop so much for bringing you this episode. And every episode to come, but this first one is always kind of a milestone. Do about the same thing every year. This is where I kind of play both center and defensive line. I'm going to snap Brewer the ball because high school football, he is the expert, the go-to guy. This is a year-round thing for him. So I'm just going to kind of make sure I get the ball to him, right? He's going to pepper it around. But every once in a while, I'm going to have to switch and play defense and sack him when he says something outrageous.
Which
you know that's going to happen.
That's going to happen soon.
All right, well, right before this podcast, big news, so I guess we'll start there. Brewer is credentialed for the Bishop Gorman game in Texas this weekend. We thought he was going to have to be out there scalping a ticket. Bishop Gorman defending back-to-back national champions and now gets a chance to kind of prove their worth on Saturday on ESPN, I believe.
ESPN2 against Cedar Hill.
ESPN2, Cedar Hill. Preview this game for us. What do we need to look for?
Well, it's a battle of top five teams nationally. Gorman, obviously the back-to-back mythical national champions, but some great storylines. One is Tate Martell, the Gorman quarterback, undefeated in 2 years as a starter. One of the best we've ever seen in Las Vegas, and he's going into Texas where he's hated right now. He was verbally committed to Texas A&M, you know, Giggum, 13th man. He was going to be their guy. And he decommitted, and now he's going to Ohio State. So there's some folks in the Lone Star State who don't like him a lot. And, you know, Texas Case is the mecca of high school football, right? It's, you know, it's the proving ground. It's the rite of passage. And, you know, Gorman has gone from a Nevada power to a regional power to a national power. They've beat the best teams and programs in California, in New Jersey, in Florida. They've sent guys to major schools, to the NFL. But the one thing they haven't done is they haven't beat a team from Texas. And they're going to Texas. There's going to be 15,000 people there. It's sold out. So this is a chance for Gorman. And I hate to use this word because if they lose, it's not like, you know, it's a team that's just been beaten up on crappy Vegas teams and got good because they're really good. But if Gorman wins this game, it's kind of a chance to kind of validate not only what they do but what we do in Las Vegas. So I hope that people are kind of pulling for Gorman. And I might write that on Friday that, you know, this is the time to throw down your hatred for Gorman or the fact that you don't like to compete against them, which is the truth. And I said I was going to be truthful and not harmful this year. And
we'll
and
see how long that lasts.
I know. And we're going to root for these guys. Same token, Liberty goes to Texas the following week, right? They're playing in a big game. They're a team that's regionally ranked. They're a team that's mirroring Gorman and trying to beat with them. They're a team with great Division I players, right? Kenyon Oblad throws the rock around with the best of them. And let's root for Liberty, too.
Faith Lutheran also has a Texas team on the schedule this week, St. Pius or Pius. You're more of a Catholic than me. You probably could tell me.
Well, you got married in the church.
That's true.
I didn't.
Shout out to Durango coach Matt Gerber.
Yes.
I would say as if there was any questions, there shouldn't have been of how good of a coach Kenny Sanchez is and taking over for his brother Tony. I think he wiped them away last year by doing what Gorman did. But I think that you're even seeing more of how well of a motivator this guy is going into this game because, you know, not that I've been around the Bishop Gorman program much, but seeing those kids at our media day, they were all, like, angry about this Texas game. They were so mad, wanted to go in there and represent for Nevada. And I guess the, like, kind of hostility stems from some comments from the Cedar Hills coach, who I went and looked up, didn't really even say anything. All he said was, we're going to represent Texas. And Gorman's
carry the Texas
like,
flag, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
That doesn't sound that bad to me. It's not like he said Nevada sucks and Gorman isn't on the same level of Texas to me. But I'm sure Kenny has played that up, and I think the kids are super motivated to go out there. I will say this. As someone who grew up in the South, not specifically Texas, it is just a different level down there. I'm not saying that, you know, the kids are necessarily better, they have better athletes, but as far as the attention and how much this means to these communities, there's nothing that can compare. And I don't even think some of the schools they've played in California are going to be anything like this atmosphere. I think these kids are too professional. I mean, they're going all over the country, great scholarships. I don't think that's going to fluster them, but these are also 17- or 18-year-old kids, maybe even some 16-year-olds playing. It's not going to be crazy if some things start going against them that could play a role.
Obviously, to counter that, many of Gorman's great players, Perry, Bolden, Martell, Ollie Walsh, they're three-year varsity guys. Haskell Garrett, they've started since sophomores. They've made the road trips across country. They've gone around to all these camps. But you're right. We're talking a nationally televised game, ESPN2, 8 o'clock Saturday night, the week before college football starts. So this is kind of like the LSU-Alabama of the week for ESPN. There's going to be a lot of people there. Not many of them are going to be rooting for Gorman. The referees are going to be from Texas as well. This is like going to Provo, if you will, to play BYU at night. People are, you know, the freaks come out at night, the song that I love. And I think that's going to be the hard part. I think if they played on a neutral field, man versus man, you line up, I line up, I take Gorman every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
That might be strong.
Bro, I was thinking about this. Well, first of all, the whole offseason I'm gonna pick the Texas school. The whole offseason. Talked to Kenny last week.
I doubt that.
No,
Ray Brewer, Gorman lover.
No. You know that's slowly turning. Okay. The whole offseason I'm like, there's no way Gorman's gonna do this. There's no way they're gonna do this. And then I talked to Kenny this week. Or maybe it was last week, late last week. And that dude was so determined, and he wears that emotion on his sleeve. And they've had all 8 months. You talked earlier on the show, right? 8 months. Where have we been 8 months? They've had this whole 8 months to fume and get ready for this game, to go 1-0. That's their big mantra. They could be playing Clark, which unfortunately they have to do this year, or they could be going to Texas, and they just want to be 1-0. And Kenny's got these kids so ready to play, and it's so personal for so many of them. I think they're going to go, and they're going to do a great job. And I also think that they're going to be stronger up front, because I've done a little research, and in the Texas schools week up front, I think they could pound the rock 30 times and get away with a W. Power eye, baby.
I think if that's all they're going to do is pound it up the middle, I'm more confident in taking the Texas team.
Well, it doesn't have to be up the middle all the time. You could go around the side.
I think they need to throw the ball. I think they need to have a balanced offense, and I think that's why they've been so good these past couple years. A few of the last things on Gorman. The one thing I know you were really worried about that you kept telling me and other people was, who's Martell going to be able to throw to this year? Well, big news, I think, last week, Tyjon Lindsey is back. So that kind of answers that question.
He's back. He's, you know, committed to Ohio State on Monday. One of the most dynamic players you'll see. Super quick, great hands, great rapport with Tate Martell. They've been playing together since their junior football days. I think he's going to be cleared and ready to go by time Saturday rolls around. To be announced. Follow my Twitter at RayBrewer21. To find out. But if he doesn't go, Brevin Jordan, the junior tight end, class of 2018 stud, they'll rely on him. Austin Arnold, three-year guy who's kind of been in the shadows but is a great player, is going to get some reps. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback who's got all these offers, who's been waiting in the wings behind Martell, he's been playing some wide receiver, and the kid is just so sick athletically that it helps out. So I think Gorman, if they go in there and they don't fumble the ball around, it reminds me a little bit of the Chandler game last year. They got a big lead and they kind of held on to it. Ollie Ross broke some long ones loose. It's not like they exactly dominated the game, but they ended up winning by a convincing score. I think this is how the game's going to play out. Anyways, there's more than Gorman, Case. Come on.
We'll reveal our picks at the end of the show. Brewer kind of already hinted at his. But got to keep you hanging on for that. Gorman last week, to get ready for this game, scrimmaged Liberty, which I think is stop number two, because year after year they seem like they've kind of taken that mantle as the second best program in town. And from what you've reported to me, the Patriots played pretty well, much better than they did in the state championship last year, where Gorman obliterated them.
Yeah, our biggest supporter, Tuesday, Dad, was at the game. I was following his Twitter, and he had kind of a running play-by-play. Again, I don't know if Liberty's first-string offense went against Gorman's second-team defense, or if one team held out a certain player, and a scrimmage is just a scrimmage, so you don't want to think too much into it. But Liberty was able to put some points up. Oblad is throwing the ball well. They've got Marquise Powell now from he was at Liberty, then went to Green Valley. Now he's back at Liberty. He stretches the field. He's that big play receiver, big body, tall. He's 6'4", combines with Akahito. Did I say that right?
It's Akahito. Pretty close.
Akahito, who had, like, I think, 800, almost 900 yards receiving last year, led Liberty in receptions and receiving yards. And then Ethan Dudeau, who's a four-year guy. So I think Liberty's receivers, Powell, Acevedo, and Dudeau. I'm sorry,
that
Darren.
That was worse the second time.
I love you, brother. I think you match those three guys up against anybody in town. I think they're obviously better than everybody except maybe Gorman, and we could debate that till we're blue in the tooth. I don't see anybody stopping Liberty's offense if they could get a running game. And they're going to be big and physical up front. We'll see how they are on defense. But look at the schedule, man. Do you see the Liberty schedule?
I know it's tough. I do not have it in front of me.
Murderer's
Opening
with
Arborview this week.
Arborview.
Sure.
Desert Pines in the game that, let's be honest, I cannot wait for. I mean, the game of all games in non-league play that both teams are ready to go. They're traveling to Texas. They're going into Cali to play Centennial Corona. There's a chance that they could be 0-4.
No way. I'll take whatever odds.
What do you mean,
give
no
me right
way?
Now, they will not be 0-4.
They're going to lose in Texas, and they're going to lose in California, right?
They're underdogs in those games. I think they're favorite in both the games at home against Arbor and Desert.
I know,
Pines.
But
you
it's not like they're them. Playing the little sisters of the poor. Arborview's got big Greg Rogers in the middle, Elijah Wade, Diego Stubbs running the rock.
Yeah, no, they're both good
teams.
I'm saying right now they will not be 0-4.
But they
I
could.
Guarantee. A Prep Sports Now guarantee Liberty will not be 0-4.
They could be, though.
Not if I'm guaranteeing
they're
not
gonna go,
be.
What, 2-2?
Not 0-4. Whatever happens.
Okay, I'm not giving out. I haven't yet figured out my pick for the DP Liberty game. But I know that both teams are ready to go, and I know DP's like a Lamborghini, baby. They're quick as could be. Just saying. And what happened the last time that Arborview went to Liberty?
I'm not saying Arborview has no chance. They have very much have a chance. I'm just saying Liberty's not going 0-4. Arborview did smash Liberty, but on the flip side, you could say that was kind of a whole different era. I mean, how long ago was that now? Like 5 or 6 years ago?
Whatever it was, you're right. I don't disagree with
but
you.
That should be a great game. Liberty involved in kind of what I think is one of the more interesting quirks to this season is, I know you'll be a fan of, we have the Henderson League back, the Southeast, all the Henderson schools, which I think is great as far as competitiveness and us being able to watch. I don't think it's so good in that all these teams could probably make the playoffs if they were separated. This is just a gauntlet of a league, and I think I know who's number one. I'm picking Liberty, but I think you could convince me 2 through 6 almost any other way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The new Henderson, the new slash old Southeast League, the Henderson League, the old Henderson City Championship Trophy that we used to distribute when I was with the Henderson Home News, is back. And if you look at the Northeast, it's Vegas, and then way behind them, Canyon, Rancho, Valley, and Eldo. So whoever takes second in the Northeast probably wouldn't even make the playoffs in the Southeast. And they could, they're going to host a home playoff game that they could lose by in the running clock. That's besides the point. I totally agree with you about the rest of the Southeast being a coin flip after Liberty. But I think, to me, Green Valley is the clear cut, too. I think it's Liberty. I think it's Green Valley. I love CJ Arora, had 100 plus tackles. Hershberger, Eric Brown on the offensive line. they're bringing a sophomore in to play quarterback. The kid is very athletic. He's going to make some mistakes. They got the Mayberry kid on the outside. He could move not to the level of Liberty, but I think they're the clear-cut two, in my opinion. I would take them right now against Basic anywhere, any day, Henderson Bowl. I would take them against Foothill, who I love this year, any day, anywhere. And obviously Coronado, for me, I would take them as well. And Silverado, to me, is a wild card. I have no idea what's going on.
Any day, anywhere?
I'd take Green Valley any day, anywhere against any team except for Liberty in the entire Sunrise region. Beat Vegas 10 out of 10. They beat Basic 10 out of 10. Liberty, look at the roster. It's big. They got a lot of players. They're going to tell you that, oh, poor is us. We lost our quarterback. We don't have an established runner. We had a few guys go over to Silverado. I do not care. For me, Green Valley is clear-cut number two. For me. They don't even make the playoffs.
I don't know. Both Basic and Foothill specifically, and I think it's pretty presumptuous just to think they're going to smash both of them.
I think those are the other two teams in the league that makes the playoffs, Basic and Foothill. And if you're in the semifinals, because I think we'll have an all-Henderson semifinal.
So Coronado and Silverado are out?
In my little prediction.
All right. Well, I must ask then. I know we're a fan. We're going to like seeing all these teams battle each other. But wasn't the whole point of all this realignment to have some competitive balance? How is this balance at all? We have all these teams in the Southeast. In the Northeast, we have what you're saying, the one seed might lose to the four in the playoffs.
The realignment has become the biggest joke. It's embarrassing. What they should do is make three classifications. Take all the teams in the Northeast and take all the teams in Gorman's league, the Southwest, and make a middle-tier league. Move Gorman over to the league with Palo and Centennial, right? And have the big league be the Northwest, Palo, Centennial, Arborview, right? With all the Hendertucky schools. And that's the top league. And then you move DP up to the middle league, and then you got your middle league. Vegas, right? It's competitive. Clark. And then the lower league stays the same. But who am I?
I think you're just trying to rig it so that Vegas can win a state championship. You love your Wildcats.
I love Elijah Hicks. I love Cruz Littlefield. I love the other kid, and I got to get his name from Las Vegas, who is also a junior who runs the Rock. You're going to have to get both of them on the field at the same time. Hey, I put Vegas in my top 10, so I think there's a way where Vegas could make its way into the top, into the semifinals.
Well, I think we're in agreement that Vegas probably going to win their first division title in at least a few years. They haven't won many since I've been around.
I'd say 4 years.
They got to be the favorite in the Northeast this year.
And that kid is Daquan Brown. He's really good as a junior.
Okay,
one of the city's most underrated players. If the quarterbacks could be good for Vegas, I think they got a chance to get to the semifinals.
All right. Well, that pretty much goes over the Sunrise. What about the Sunset? Always a little disappointing because we know exactly who's going to win it, but beyond that, who are you looking at?
I mean, the black and blue division is back. The Northwest with Centennial, Arbor, Palo, Cimarron, Legacy, Shadow, and Faith Lutheran is up to the equation.
That's going to be a fun league, actually. Maybe you could make the argument that'll be even more fun than the Southeast.
You could. I mean, it's probably the toughest league in Las Vegas. You've just got a lot of teams that like to run the ball that are big and physical and nasty. And you know the argument I made with the Northeast, how the team that takes second over there is probably going to lose a home playoff game by a running clock? You can make the same argument with the Southwest. Okay, Gorman's going to take one. They're going to kill everybody. And then 2 through 7 is going to be a fun little league, right? You got Vista, Spring, Bonanza, Durango, Dio. Let those guys all fight it out. But whoever takes second is going to have to play the three from over there, which could be a Palo, which could be a Legacy, which could be a Shadow Ridge, a team that I'm high on. I don't think they beat my Green Valley Gators, and I can't believe I'm saying that as a Shap grad who hated Green Valley when I was a kid. But
all right, well, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years now. I got in trouble for saying our review had surpassed Palo Verde and become a better program. I think every year I get in trouble because I tell you you're crazy for thinking Centennial is going to beat our review. I'm usually right. Our review always beats them down. I think as good as this division is, there is just as clear of a number one in this as there is in the other divisions, and I think that's our review. Do you think I'm wrong, or are you finally on board with the Aggies?
I'm on board. I mean, getting Greg Rogers from Centennial not only made Arbor stronger, it crippled the...
Let's just call him City Boy Greg.
City Boy! I love that kid. True Las Vegas kid. Made the, you know, moved over to the Arbor View zone. Centennial returns just two players on defense. I love what they have with Evans and Scarver, but I just don't think they're going to be able to stop anybody. And I think Arbor View, while that game, I think it's October 10th between Arbor and Centennial, there'll be a ton of people there and there'll be some energy. And who knows, Evans might go off. I know Arbor View probably doesn't deal with speed well. I think Arbor should go undefeated in the league and should get the Thanksgiving weekend to play Gorman.
Someone good is going to be left out of the playoffs in this league, too. I think we agree that Arborview and Centennial are probably in. Who do you see kind of slipping out of the playoffs? I mean, Faith Lutheran's been so good on the lower level. You think they have the talent to still compete up there, not win a state championship or anything, but at least get to the playoffs. Palo, every single year, is in the conversation. And then I know Legacy and Shadow are supposed to be improved. Who's kind of the odd man out of this group?
I think with Faith Lutheran, a lot of folks think that the infrastructure is there to where they're going to be the team that finally dethrones Gorman. Vernon Fox, great football mind, great human being in terms of how he preaches the message of Faith Lutheran. You know, Christ first, football a close second, and he's able to relay that to the kids. But what
should
do you
be the team motto?
Yeah.
Faith first, football a close second.
Yeah, but what they're doing in terms of getting the numbers up, getting the kids bigger and stronger. You know, we're talking a new weight room facility, new field turf, uniforms are looking great, doing all the things right behind the scenes, going to a good camp. It's just now going up to that higher level of competition, and you got to be big on the lines, and that's something Faith has lacked. You got to have some guys that could run. That's something Faith has lacked. And right now they don't really have a good quarterback. Christian Marshall may play quarterback. So I think this first year, Faith is going to keep some games close in the first half, and they might lose in the second half as the other teams just have sheer more numbers than them. But I don't think it lasts for long. I think that Faith could be that team that eventually knocks off Gorman. I love Shadow Ridge, man. I mean, I don't know if – okay, so here's the deal. Shadow won one game last year, so you think I'm crazy, right? Cody Presser played every snap as a freshman quarterback, right? The Aubrey Nellims kid, you know, two-way player, just a junior. And these are – so as a sophomore, this kid played both ways and got a lot of snaps. And you're talking about building the program the right way. You know, Travis Foster, the Shadow Ridge coach, came from Arborview. You could kind of see him putting in motion some of the same things that Arborview did. Maybe putting them 10 in the preseason was too premature.
You have them 10?
I do.
Oh, okay. Here's where I have to turn into the aforementioned pass rusher. And I'm not saying I necessarily agree with this. This just goes against everything you always argue against me for years.
I know.
This is Mr. Ray Brewer. The team name on the jersey matters more than anything else. Well, let me tell you, the Shadow Ridge name doesn't inspire the same confidence as Centennial, Arborview, Faith Lutheran, Palo Verde. Now you've got the number 10. I think that might be a stretch.
Well, Palo was ahead of them. Arbor and Centennial were also ahead of them. So the only team that you mentioned was Faith. Like I said, I think they're going to be better than Legacy. Like I said, Arbor wins the league. I don't think they could match Centennial's speed. I think they give Palo a fight, and I think they beat Legacy, Cimarron, and Faith.
Wow, I would take Faith right now in that game. October 21st is when Faith hosts
Shadow
Ridge. I think the other thing is that I wanted to call you out on about Faith. As far as I know, at least from our media day, Christian Marshall wasn't maybe playing quarterback. He was playing quarterback. And I think to say they don't have a quarterback is a knock to a kid that was one of the best athletes in the state last
year. Preseason all
season. The kid was ridiculous.
But he didn't throw the rock. He was the running back. What do you?
Okay, I will take a kid that I know is that. athletically competent and that accomplished as my new quarterback than a first-year guy who's been sitting on the bench watching for the last several years.
Well, when you sit on the bench, you also got the headset on taking mental reps, right?
I'd rather have a guy that's on the field playing
football.
All right, well, I just want to I'll pat myself on the back. I'm good at that. The one time we had a huge disagreement on Faith Lutheran was the year I said they were going to be really good. They ended up winning the state championship.
You're right.
We have a big disagreement on Faith Lutheran this year because I'm in on this team. I think they could finish as high as second in this division.
No way. They're not being
as high. As I'm not.
Okay.
If you have me ranking them right now, I'm probably putting them third or fourth, but I would not be shocked if they come in second.
Okay.
I mean, I think Vernon is one of the best coaches in town.
I don't disagree with that.
One of the best programs, and I love the Christian Marshall kid. I don't know what's where this
I love
is coming
him too.
From.
I mean, he's great.
They don't have a quarterback though.
Who knows?
Clearly,
the
Vernon
kid
doesn't
might...
know what he's doing. Moving a kid that doesn't know how to play quarterback to the position.
No, I'm just saying that he hasn't played it yet.
All right.
Like my guy Cody Presser, who took every snap last year
and won a game,
made the playoffs. He did. They made the playoffs. What do you want?
I guess. All right. Well, before we go to the weekly picks, I think the one thing we have to touch on, the elephant in the room, or maybe more accurately, the cheetah in the room, Desert Pines, the runaway favorite to finish the business they didn't in the last 2 years and win a state championship in the lower level. But we're also going to get to find out where they kind of rank in the upper level because they have a tough schedule. They're playing some of the best teams in town. I know you love Desert Pines, and this is the year they've been waiting for. All those great sophomores from 2 years ago are now seniors. I mean, how big of a shock is it going to be if they don't pull it off this year?
I mean, the one thing, and Lake Tahoe guy could attest to this, we don't know what to expect up north, and it's always tough for a team from Vegas to go to, like, Churchill County, for example. You saw last year, my Shap Cowboys, who had three really special athletes, Hernandez, Acosta, they went up there and they were up 3 touchdowns and they ended up losing. I think Churchill County is going to be good again. But you're right. There's no reason why a team that's got a kid committed to SC at middle linebacker and a wide receiver going to USC, and they might not be your two best players, shouldn't win the state championship running away. But we said this about Desert Pines in basketball. We've said this about Desert Pines in football. And they just can't win the game.
We didn't quite say it in football last year. I think I said Moapa was going to win all year, which they didn't end up doing. But I think that's the other wild card. I know the Pirates up there in Overton, I know that they're supposed to be a little bit down this year. They lost R.J. Hubert, lost some guys off the last
They lost LeBron James.
But
not just R.J. Hubert,
like
LeBron.
I feel like this team could get it together by the end of the year. And to me, I would suggest they're kind of in Desert Pines' head at this point. They've two times arguably shouldn't have beaten them in the playoffs, have beaten them both times. And I know I got a bunch of emails from Desert Pines people last year when I covered that game, blaming the loss on the officials and stuff. I don't care. Maybe a couple calls went against you. That did not lose you the game. Moapa Valley beat you, just like they beat you the year before. I think that everyone is going to say Desert Pines has more talent. What if Moapa Valley gets it together and we see that game in the playoffs? I'm not super confident just saying the Jaguars are going to run them over because we've never seen that happen, even when they beat them in the regular season.
First of all, I love Moapa Valley. Great program. Brent Lewis, one of the top three coaches in town, without a doubt. They return like two players, Case. They lost LeBron. They've got inexperience everywhere. Now, are they going to get coached up? Yeah. Are they in an awful league where they're going to win it going away? Hell yeah. Okay? Shap, Del Sol, a young Shap, a Del Sol that's hanging on, a Boulder City in Virgin Valley. I think Moapa Valley, hands down, the team to win. They could be hosting throughout the playoffs. But there's no way they have the Jimmies and the Joes to match DP this year.
I don't think they did last year either.
They had LeBron.
They did have one guy.
They had LeBron.
I should also note, looking back at the schedule, technically DP has still never beat them because they forfeited.
Yes, they never have.
A 1-0 win for Moapa.
And you're right. If Tico was in here and we said like Moapa Valley, he'd be like, oh he's got a night. They got nightmares about having to go to Overton. I mean, literally nightmares about going to Overton. I mean, Moapa Valley is taking two state championships from them, arguably.
I mean, yeah, there's no way that I would pick Moapa in that spot this year. But all I'm saying is that is a potential stumbling block. Desert Pine, I mean, there's absolutely no way, I don't care what happens, that I would ever pick against Bishop Gorman in the Nevada State playoffs. It's not even fair. If Desert Pines, if you think they're on that level, I'm saying not quite. Like, mm-hmm. some team could beat them. And so, I think Moapa's the one you look at because of their history.
I think Desert Pines' weakness is the fact that they just don't have enough guys. They have really good frontline guys, but if you get one injury and you just start moving your checker pieces around, things could go haywire, especially if that injury is at quarterback, because the Grimes kid was a quarterback as a sophomore at Sierra Vista, but I think Grayson's kind of your guy in your center, and if something went wrong with him, you might just have to hand the ball off as much as you can and see if you could push people around. But I like your thinking with Moapa Valley. To you, Moapa Valley's kind of like the Yankees team on the front of the jersey, right?
A little bit,
okay.
But more than that, I don't buy into the team name on the front of the jersey thing. More than that, I just think Moapa has such a sustainable program. I know, I think I've said this about like three teams now, but they're one of the best coach programs in the state. I don't feel like they're going to be super have a bunch of places where they might lose in the regular season. I feel like Brent Lewis and his staff is going to coach them up, and I think they're going to be way better than you expect by the end of the year, even if they're a little rough at the beginning. And I feel like we've seen this before where Moapa lost everyone. I don't remember what year, and then turned around and were just as good the next year when we weren't expecting it.
That's true.
I think they are kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Like getting in your head. I think, you know, their whole woe is me, we're not going to be very good this year. I think in the back of their mind, they know they're capable of being just as good as they are most years.
But right now on paper, they haven't done much, and at camp they even got pushed around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can see both ways, but if you're looking for an interesting game that Desert Pines is going to play on their route to a state championship, I think that might be one of them. I don't really see anyone
if
in
they
their,
get to play each other.
Yeah, I don't really see anyone in their region pushing them, I guess.
No.
That's what I'm saying. All right, well, anything else we missed going over some of this before we go?
Yeah, shout out again to Wingstop for, again, sponsoring our Player of the Week. The winners get a $50 gift card from Wingstop, a T-shirt from Wingstop, and a profile on LasVegasSun.com. Coaches, text me Friday night, Saturday morning with your nominees so we can get them picked every week. We're going to do it for 10 weeks. Looking forward to going to Wingstop with some of these kids to do some interviews.
Yeah, let's do this. I mean, I'll give the pep talk here. It's not, I don't care if this isn't a secret. We've been pretty underwhelmed with the amount of nominations we got last year. So if you reach out to Brewer, your kid's going to have a really good chance. Let's get like some of these kids some recognition. Let's get them some chicken in their bellies.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Free chicken. And the cool thing is,
sorry for not mentioning this earlier.
Yeah, some of these kids really need the mill, so
yeah. So let's get Brewer those nominations. All of them will be carefully vetted. Even if they don't win, we'll keep them in mind for future weeks. Wingstop Player of the Week back for year number 3. All right, are we gonna go to the picks now?
Let's do the picks, baby.
All right, well, it's been a while since we talked about Gorman at the top of the show, so let's just dive in with that game on Saturday, Gorman and Cedar Hills.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was gonna pick Cedar Hills all off season. I said there's no way that Gorman's going to be able to go to Texas, battle the environment, the elements, the unknown, and pull off the win. And then I talked to Sanchez, and he got me fired up. And I'm like, if he could get me fired up, he's going to have these kids ready to go. And I'm taking Gorman, and I think the game is going to mirror the Chandler game from last year where they get a lead, they kind of drain some clock a little bit. I think they're going to be able to move the ball with Ollie Walsh running it. And I just think defensively, all three levels, Gorman has got such great experience. You know, you go Haskell Garrett on the D-line, the linebacker who's the number one linebacker for the class of 2018. I can't say his name, number 10, Pelele, somebody correct me. And then in the secondary, you got Bolden and Perry. And I think the quarterback from Cedar Hills, obviously the kid's committed to Notre Dame. I don't know if he's going to be able to sling it around against Gorman, so I'm taking the Gales, even though I wasn't going to all year. I don't know if I'm going to pick them when they go into L.A. later, though.
I think I may agree more than disagree with you here. It certainly seems like Gorman should have the offensive advantage. The one thing I do kind of dispute is you say that you would pick them if you knew they were running the ball 30 times. I think what makes Gorman so dangerous is just how many different things they can do on offense. I mean, Ali Walsh is amazing. player of the year last year, right? So he's got to be the favorite again. But in the case that, you know, Cedar Hills finds a way to stop him, then you can go to Martell, an Ohio State committed quarterback slinging around. So I think they can do a little bit of everything. And I am in agreement that if this was on a neutral site, I think I would pick Gorman. But, you know, you look at the rankings and Cedar Hills is right there. They're playing at home. I think this is going to be a really close game. And, hey, why not give Gorman just a little bit of extra fuel to the fire, since they're already mad at everyone that says anything that might be remotely against them. I'm going to go Cedar Hills in this here contest. And I don't think it's anything against Gorman. I don't think it has anything to do with Nevada not being as good a place to play or them having inferior athletes. I just think it's going to be a close game. And in a close football game, I think you always favor the home team if the teams are about evenly matched.
Totally agree. I can't disagree with you. I think Gorman's 20-plus game winning streak could come to an end. Wouldn't be surprised if it come to an end, but let's roll the dice. I'll take the better team even if they're on the road.
All right, sounds good. Follow Brewer on Twitter. He'll be there live on Saturday night. Really interested to see how this one plays out. We've got some great games here on Friday, though, starting with Arborview and Liberty. Really looking forward to this game. I mean, just we talked about how many guys Gorman has, but there's studs all over the field in this game too. A lot of Division I kids.
Yeah, and remember when they played, was it 4 or 5 years ago or wherever, the bus was late? I think you might have covered that game.
Yeah, where the lights went out too or something. Or I mean, that
but anyways, Arborview showed up like an hour later or whatever. And then just came and absolutely ran them. And then I think the year after that, they had a little hiccup in a scrimmage. So there's been some bad blood, no love lost. Bottom line, though, I think Liberty's speed on the outside with their wide receivers. I have a high opinion of Sims, the DB for Arborview. Obviously, the kid's got a few offers. But he's just one guy. I don't know who's going to mark the other two. I think Rodgers and Wade are going to be able to get some pass rush, but, you know, I think those dogs in the heat aren't going to be able to go the entire game, and I think eventually Liberty should be able to wear them out.
Yeah, it's going to be a trial by fire for that defensive secondary because we know how well Liberty throws the ball around. How do we get this far in the podcast without mentioning one of the best quarterbacks in town, third-year starter, and he's still got 2 years left, junior Kenyon Oblad.
Yeah,
Patriots.
And he apparently threw for like 200-plus yards and a long TD to Powell against Gorman in the scrimmage. So, you know, the kid's got Colorado State, BYU offers, I think maybe even San Diego State, and just 100 times better from that, you know, that baby, that freshman that was taking those first snaps. So I think if he distributes the ball well and if they could get some kind of running game, I think they should be able to beat Arbor, but if you go 3 and out on your first possession, what's going to happen? You know, the Aggies are going to go on an 8-minute drive with their misdirection offense, and they could go up 7-0, and then Arborview, as good as any team in town in managing the clock. So if Liberty gets behind, I think Arborview is going to – this game will get over by 8:45.
All right, well, yeah, I think theme of the podcast, I guess, is versatility because I praised Gorman on it. I think I'm doing that with Liberty, too. I just feel like they can do a little bit more than Arborview, and I'm going to pick them. But that being said, I would not be shocked if it went the other way, and I would petition just let's just put this game on the schedule every year.
Who did you take?
Liberty.
Oh, I thought
– did I say Arbor?
I think
I may have.
Okay. I was like, yes, I'm going to get one. Yes.
No, I'm taking Liberty.
Okay, so we're both taking Liberty.
Yeah, but I think this is going to be a really fun game. Looking forward to it. Sorry if I said Arborview. I'll be picking Arborview a lot this year to make it up to you guys. Liberty all the way. Centennial at Desert Pines. Another big one.
Yeah, pretty cool story here. Leon Evans, the coach of Centennial, is going back to Desert Pines, who he coached in the early 2000s, led them on some great playoff runs, some absolute studs on that team. Cornell Johnson, a name who I know a lot of folks remember, just an absolutely talented running back. So pretty neat that Leon's going to be able to go back to an area where he grew up and a team that he coached. With that said, I don't think anybody's stopping DP in this game. They're going to make a statement. They've got a few opportunities to make a statement this year because, you know, once they get in the league, they got to play Western and Pahrump and God knows who else. So they've got a few chances to show that we are the best 3A team. We can compete with anybody. We are a three-stripe team. You know, they're getting, you know, that money from Adidas, which prides itself in schools with fast athletes, right?
Like the University of Kansas.
Long Beach, like Long Beach Poly. You know, they give people who run certain times, you know, the NFL Combine bonuses. So this is a chance for Desert Pines to prove themselves. They need to put a whoop-ass like they did on Arbor on Centennial. And I think they beat them.
The thing I would dispute, and I know that we probably mentioned this game way too much, what they did to Arbor View last year, and that's what we're thinking going into this game. I just think no way anything like that happens. I mean, we knew Desert Pines was good last year, but I think that game, even Arbor View might have been like, oh, this is the, you know, good Division I A school. I think they might have been a little full of themselves. I think everyone might have been overlooking Desert Pines a little bit, and they came out and did what they did, played a perfect game. I just see no way this game isn't closer than that. And not only closer than that, I think this is going to be a close game in general. I don't think Centennial is just going to lay over for Desert Pines.
Centennial and its two returning defenders.
Yeah, since when does the Bulldogs come into a game being like this big underdog? I just think they're going to be
ready to go. This is week one, August 25th or whatever day Friday is, right, Case? It's not like this is going to be the 27th. It's not like this is going to be – is Friday the 27th?
I think so.
Okay. It's not like this is the Centennial team we're going to see at the end of the year. This is a team with guys who are starting for the first time.
All right, give
me nine first-time starters trying to catch Speedy Morris, the fastest player in town.
All right, you have Desert Pines winning by 15. Give me a Centennial plus 14.5.
I'm not going that crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So you won't back up what you're saying. That's all.
I'll give you Centennial plus 8.
Why would I do that when you picked up by 15?
I exaggerate a little hustled in the picks.
I'm trying to get hustled.
All right, well.
Trying to hustle me. All right. I think Centennial keeps us close, though, but I'm going to go Desert Pines ultimately. A couple more teams playing out-of-state opponents now. St. P.S. Pius, whatever, from Texas, going to Faith Lutheran. I feel like every year Faith Lutheran plays a really tough out-of-state team to start the season and usually struggles a little bit. I don't think this is going to be any different. As much as I like Faith Lutheran and as much as I know they've put some emphasis on playing better from the start this year, I think that the Texas school will win.
Happy that Faith Lutheran's playing at Texas school. We're all rooting for them to beat said Texas school. And I just, you know, again, this offense, even though Christian Marshall's the man, he's on our all-city team, it's not going to be the finished product. They're getting ready for league play, and I think they lose.
All right. Speaking of schools that take on out-of-state opponents early in the season and usually get a little bit of a learning experience out of it, Virgin Valley hosts Cedar City, and I am taking Cedar City.
I'm taking Cedar City as well. Mesquite and Cedar play each other in Pop Warner all the way up, so these two teams are very familiar with each other. But if you go check out Cedar City's roster, they're pretty darn good. So I take Cedar City.
All right, Sunrise Mountain at Boulder City. Pretty crazy to think the Miners are actually in the conversation now. I mean, they're a solid team. And a few years ago, you never would have expected that.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Sunrise Mountain opened in 09, had three wins all time heading into last year and won six games last year to make the playoffs for the first time ever. Dalwin Spates, great linebacker, just a junior, is getting looked at by some colleges. I think, and this might be totally crazy, as crazy as that shadow pick, but Sunrise could be the second best team in the 3A. I think they go into Boulder and just put a whooping on them, actually.
I think that's less, from what I know, I think that's less crazy than our own shadow at number 10. Wow. Chris Royers has really done a great job over there.
Yeah, what are you, chewing some ice?
Yeah, when I was trying to take a sip of my water, my throat's kind of messed up. I got a little piece of ice, but so apologies to that. But next game, someone is going to get a win is the theme of this game. Durango at Valley, both two really struggling programs that are trying to get their numbers up, trying to start the season with success.
And this is our Thursday night TV game, so everybody will be watching.
That's cool for these kids to be able to get to play on TV, but who do you got?
I take the team with the best player on the field, and that's the Metlock kid from Valley, four-year guy. If Baker delivers in his promises to let this kid touch the ball 20, 25, 30 times a game, I think it should be a no-brainer.
How about just to keep things interesting, I'll go with the Trailblazers. I think that Durango, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, they had so many underclassmen that were doing well, and like the freshmen and JV. I think some of those guys are going to break into this year. And on top of that, they have a little bit more experience than the past couple of years. So I think Durango ekes out a close victory here at Valley. Bonanza at Chaparral.
I am a Chaparral. Boom, boom. Never betting against the Cowboys in the first game, bro. The Cowboys.
Yeah, I feel like the Cowboys kind of earned getting this pick last year by making the state semifinals, having that great year Paul Neapoli taking over there. I think Bonanza is probably just as good, could very easily beat them, but I think just looking back to last year, I don't think I can pick against Chaparral in game one.
Yeah, I think shout out to Shap lost a whole lot. Cantrell Petit returns. He's real lanky and undersized. They've got the big guy up front, Xavier Washington. Watch out for him. Jacob Ford, who caught the two-point conversion against Faith, is back. So Chaparral, a lot of new pieces. Going against the Bonanza team with new coach Dion Lee. I've enjoyed my conversations with Dion. He seems like he's a good football guy. He's got a plan to get Bonanza to respectability. And listen, in that Southwest, with the exception of Gorman, I think every game's winnable. The Montenegro kid, we covered his brother as well. He's probably, without a doubt, going to be the best put-together kid on the field for the game. Going to be interested to see how Bonanza does just in terms of both teams, actually. A lot of new players in terms of just communication, first game mistakes. Whatever team commits the less mistakes is going to win. I'm taking Chaparral because I went there and I love him.
All right, Cannon Springs at Coronado. I feel like this is a game where Coronado might have a little bit of anger they want to let out. They feel like they might have underachieved last year, and they're kind of being overlooked, as we said earlier, in the Southeast. You picked them not to make the playoffs. Cannon Springs has a new coach. They're fired up as well. I think these are two teams that if you're looking for a sleeper, you could probably make the case for either of them, but it's going to be very telling to see who comes out on top. Who do you got?
Yeah, Coronado last year really took it to Canyon at Canyon. So in the return game, I take you know, Landon Rowland and Drew Harris and the Coronado Cougars. I think they're going to win this game. Canyon, again, new coach Augustus McNair. He's the third coach in 3 years since Hunky left. He's doing some of the same things that Cooper did that had some success. I hear that Canyon's got some good players on the outside, maybe a little small up front. I know Coronado's going to be good up front, so I think they should be able to run the rock, which I know they're going to do, and get a W in this opening night.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Coronado, too. I think this could be close, though, and I wouldn't be surprised whatever happens. El Dorado at Pahrump Valley.
You know, I've been really impressed with the way El Dorado's ran its off-season program. A lot of participation in the weight room. You know, Anthony Silva is a guy who's been there for a while. Jaime Rangel at quarterback. Travis Bowie at wide receiver is a 6'5", healthy-looking kid. And like I said, I think El Dorado's got a good team, and I'm actually afraid they might beat my Cowboys in that cleat game. Pahrump Joe Clayton is back after a year break. You know, tough to win at Pahrump. A theory that I've had that probably isn't always accurate, but I'm still taking the Sun Devils.
Weren't they undefeated at home a couple years ago?
They were, but last year they didn't live up to the hype.
Okay, well, anyway, you have been beating that into my brain that Pahrump's so tough to beat at home, and if they play someone that's relatively even, they're going to win, and then you pick against them. So I get the guy just by obligation have to go the other way. I'm taking Pahrump Valley. That's not an easy trip for El Dorado to make. Maybe El Dorado's way better, and I'm getting myself into a sticky situation I didn't know about here, but it doesn't look like that way to me, so I'm going Pahrump Valley in that game. Another bigger one just got a little bit buried, but Vegas at Palo Verde.
Rematch of the 06 state championship game. You know, Palo, a team that somebody just sent me a funny text. It's crazy we do this podcast, and while we're doing the show, all our listeners are texting us trying to find out what's going on. But, you know, I think case with Paolo, you know, after they lost to DO in the first round of the playoffs, we've kind of forgotten them about them a little bit, but still great defensively. You know, with Maxie Miller at linebacker, Tyler Thornton at linebacker, Steven Garcia at nose guard. It's a team that is going to be able to stop you. I worry about how they're going to score. I think this game is going to be low scoring, but I think actually Powell is going to do enough to win, and I picked the Panthers at home.
Are you ready to make some history on this podcast? I am picking the Wildcats, and you are picking against them. I saw this Wildcats defense at times last year, and they were tenacious and great. I think they're going to be even better this year. I think they're going to be able to run the ball, even though Palo Verde has a really good defense. I think this is going to be a close game, but I don't see how you are picking against your Las Vegas High. I'm in this year. I like Las Vegas, and I think I'm going to be picking them just about every week.
You know, I think Las Vegas' big problem is they got inconsistent play at quarterback. Sometimes the quarterback's great. Other times their quarterbacks aren't that good. I think Powell's going to have a pass rush. I think they're going to be able to contain Hicks in the run game. I don't know how they're going to score. I really don't know how they're going to score. And they'll probably, when they win, they're going to call me and be like, hey, we scored. I'm like, okay, I get it. But I'm picking Palo. I'm sticking with Palo's D and Charlie Jarvis.
This had to have happened like less than five times ever where I've picked Vegas and you've picked against them. So, like I said, making history in week one here in 2016. Moapa Valley at Sierra Vista. Are you ready to shock again and pick against the Pirates? Something else that doesn't
happen? I'm taking Moapa Valley.
Sounds like you were waffling, though.
It's tough for me to pick a team that has just a handful of returners traveling from Overton to play a 4A school that has double, triple in the enrollment. But I'm taking the program that I know and trust, Moapa Valley.
Okay, I'll go Moapa as well. I think this could be a tight game. I know Sierra Vista has been on the up the last couple years, at least been competitive, but I think Moapa's at a different level. So I'm going to take the Pirates in a somewhat close game. Desert Oasis at Green Valley. We know you're totally on the Green Valley. Green Valley is like Vegas this year to you. I mean, you think they might win the state championship, so certainly you've got them smashing Desert Oasis.
I do. I mean, what a confidence-building opportunity for my sophomore quarterback. Let's eat. Let's eat, baby.
All right.
Let's eat.
Remember where you came from. Seems like you're jumping ship to Green Valley. Your Chaparral rival.
Now you love Green Valley. I'm just saying they've got a good high school football team this year.
All right, well, I'll disagree with you more on Green Valley's. You love them so much later in the year. Not this week. Okay. Green Valley's winning easy. Western at Del Sol, two programs that are also struggling.
Bro, I'm telling you, this is one of these games where I'm like, wow, they got it. They got this one right in terms of the schedule, right? Perfect. This is the perfect opening week game. I think Del Sol is going to be able to run the rock a little bit. I mean, Del Sol, which played a lot of young kids last year and lost virtually all of them to various problems. I still think they got a chance to win this game against Western, which unfortunately has had to cancel some of its lower level teams.
Yeah, I'm with you on Del Sol. I think they've just been Western's been really rough these last few years. It's hard to expect them to pull out a victory. Mojave at Silverado. Seems like you think this could be a close one.
I don't know what to make of Silverado. By the way, the quarterback, Case, could you say this kid's name for me to give the kid a shout-out, the Green Valley quarterback?
Kalija Wile?
Shout-out to Mr. Walale.
If I could have heard him at the media day, if they come, I would have been able to get it. But I haven't met him, so sorry for butchering your name. But that will be the Green Valley quarterback. They lost one quarterback, went down with injury, correct?
One quarterback to injury, one quarterback decided to focus on baseball. So they bring up the future in the sophomore.
Pinning your hopes all behind a team that's playing their third choice at quarterback?
Well, he would have been their first choice, but
would have been?
He should have been. This kid could play. I'm telling you, if this kid sucks, then I know nothing about high school football.
Okay.
I think this kid is the real McCoy, the real deal. I think he'll be on our all-city team as a senior, If he sucks, then it's 100% on.
For the record, I really like Green Valley and have total respect for the program they put on there. I have to find some team to needle Brewer about, and he seems in love with Green Valley.
Watch this
year.
Kid like
so that's
Gump.
Why I'm playing.
He got beat out from media day to the podcast, and he's moved the running back.
That's why I'm playing the instigator here.
Yes, good the time. Instigator.
All right. I'm gonna take. How did we get off on that?
Weren't Silverado about, Mojave.
Weren't we talking about Silverado Mojave? How do we start talking about Green Valley again?
I don't know. We got it because I asked you to say the name of the kid.
Okay.
So Silverado, Randall Cunningham, the NFL UNLV great. We all know the narrative there. Great first year last year. Made it to the regional semifinals. Lost all the studs from that team. They got Jordan Walker at linebacker. I love Ryan Scoggins on the offensive line. You're asking yourself who's going to, play quarterback. A lot of new players, if you will. Probably the team doesn't know much about each other. Obviously Cunningham was coaching his daughter at the Olympics, so wasn't around for a minute. Is that going to have an effect? I think Mojave's a perfect first night opponent. I think Silverado is going to get the win, but it's going to be very ugly.
Yeah, I think Silverado's probably got a few more players than Mojave does, so I'm going to go with the Skyhawks too. But Mojave's been tough year after year, so that could be a close game. I'm going Silverado. Foothill at Cheyenne. Like I said, I like both Foothill and Basic, who we're going to talk about next, and I don't see Foothill starting off the season 0-1.
I love Foothill this year, actually.
Just not as much as Green Valley.
No, you're right. 100% right. Just not as much as Green Valley. Listen, you know that I think Brad Talich is a genius, right? He's their defensive coordinator. I hope he's healthy.
He's got one of the best defensive players in the state to work with in Mariuma.
Yeah.
Love that kid.
Yeah, he led them in tackles last year, and he's a kicker, and he boots the heck out of the ball. Justin Dunlap, to me, seems like a nine-year senior. I think the kid's been around forever at linebacker. Jackson Reynolds, who's going to play both way on the line, another good football player. They've got some guys that could play, bro. And I think Talich is going to coach him up, kind of like when he was the DC at Coronado, and they were having these great performances. I'm just – concerned, CK, about them offensively. I don't know how they're going to score, who's going to run it, who's going to throw it. But I think they got enough to get past Cheyenne. I love Foothill this year, too. But go ahead.
Love them. You just don't think they're good enough to get a home playoff game.
Exactly.
So you can't love them that much.
Well, I mean, the league is stacked against them. This is like the Pac-10.
I just don't see how you say you love a team when a team that's, somewhat evenly matched.
They're in the top 10.
They have no chance to beat. No chance
Green
to
Valley
beat Green
Valley. I'm telling you right now, Green Valley is going to beat Foothill, Basic, Coronado, Silverado, those four teams by at least three touchdowns.
Will you give me right now Foothill and Basic plus 21 in both games?
Well, we got to see what happens. I mean,
there's no way
injuries, things happen. But right now, if you play the games back to back to back to back, Coronado versus Basic, Coronado versus, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Green Valley Basic, Green Valley Silverado, Green Valley whoever, they win each game by 20.
Brad Talich's defense is going to give up like 40 some points or whatever.
They're not going to score
21 points.
You're not going to run the rock with Hirschberger and Aurora.
God, this is just I think
I'm telling you right now. You're not going to run the rock.
Three
you
touchdowns.
Got 3 year varsity guys who made 100 plus tackles as juniors on your defense.
I'm bringing this up every podcast this year. They're going to beat all these teams by three touchdowns. I can't wait.
Now the other nine guys just have to not be awful, and you got a chance.
Three touchdowns. All right, well, I think Green Valley should be the team traveling to play Cedar Hills this week.
They'd have a good chance, too.
Okay.
All right.
Next game, Basic at Orem, Utah. I like Basic this year. I think they're going to go up there and represent for Nevada, but can they get the win?
Okay, so Basic last year went to the state semifinals. It seems like they score 40 points a game every year, right? You'd be crazy if you weren't a kid, because you know how these kids jump schools, right? Basic's got its academy now. You'd be crazy not to go play in that offense. The McAllister kid returns at quarterback, and not the McAllister kid that graduated, his brother. But Aaron McAllister played a lot last year, and I thought he was really, really good. Deshaun Eagles at wide receiver, 6'3", 190, nice measurables. Jacob Fulton on defense. Tua's dad, who's become our official unofficial scout, has been to a practice and said basically move the ball up the field, and I heard they did well against Centennial in scrimmage. I like the McAllister kid a lot. I do not like them at Orem, Utah in this showcase.
I do. I'm taking basic. Upset City.
Well, there you go. You just gave me a game.
Nah, do you really think it's Orem that much better? All reports are strong for basic, and you think this game won't even be close?
I think they're going to lose. Again, first game, a lot of new starters. Mistakes are going to happen.
I admit they're the underdog, but I think that
Saturday in Utah.
Upsets happen.
Traveling for the first time overnight. Case.
Upsets happen.
Upsets happen.
And I think the gap is not as big between these two teams. I think it's going to be like a touchdown game, and basic finds a way to get it done. One school that I don't
think. Do you
want
to do that, Gamer? Could you call Cahill Saturday night? Because he'll be pissed at me probably. Joking.
Taylorsville is hosting, in Utah is hosting Spring Valley.
Same showcase that Basic's going to be at. Games are back to back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go one Nevada, one Utah. I'm going to take Taylorsville over Spring Valley.
I'm going to take Taylorsville as well. I called it the Utah sweep earlier because Virgin Valley's playing a Utah team. Casey Moore back at quarterback for Spring Valley. Tavion Smith in the secondary. Spencer Johnson in the secondary. I like Spring Valley secondary, and like Bonanza or Durango or Desiree Aces and everybody else in that Southwest, they have a chance to take second once you get Gorman out. It's just, what's going to happen after you play Gorman? Do you realize the season's over because they beat you by 80, and or do you get anybody hurt or whatever the situation is? But Spring Valley, wishing them luck in Utah. I like some of their guys. Nathan Hunt's a big kid, maybe, good offensive lineman, 6'2", 320. Spring Valley was very inconsistent, last year. One day they'd be great, the next day not so much.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for all these schools that are getting to go play in Utah, specifically Basic and Taylorsville. Basic and Spring Valley, excuse me. I don't see Spring Valley pulling this off. We'll be back next week to talk about these games.
Recap, look at some new ones. If we didn't talk about your team, we apologize for some teams such as Clark, who doesn't have a game this week. So
we'll get there.
In the name of time, we'll get there. We went over an hour. We try to stay under an hour. Shout out to Wingstop for all they do for Las Vegas high school football. This is an organization that, in addition to having great chicken and fries, they love Las Vegas and they love us, and we love them back. And shout out to the South Point, who allows us to host all our events. Looking forward to another ride. You guys be gentle with each other on social media. I know sometimes we could get we could say nasty things. Case will be at the Arbor Liberty game.
You can say some nasty things to me
on Friday night. Jesse Granger will be at the DP Centennial game. And I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go still. But we appreciate your support. And
as far as sports and high school sports specifically, there's no close second to football season, so welcome back.
There's no close second to the Las Vegas Sun.